Many people have trouble understanding how animals got to distant places around the world after disembarking from Noah's Ark. While it is quite likely that humans transported some animals in boats, this is not the only explanation available. Somewhat ironically, prominent atheist Richard Dawkins reminds us of another way when he writes, "Most islands around the world, even quite remote ones like Ascension Island, have animals. Some of these, for example birds and bats, got there in a way that we can easily understand, without postulating a great deal of luck. But other animals, like lizards, can't fly. We scratch our heads and wonder how they got there. It may seem unsatisfactory to postulate a freak of luck, like a lizard happening to be clinging to a mangrove on the mainland, which breaks off and drifts across the sea. Freakish or not, this kind of luck does happen. There are lizards on oceanic islands."
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
If you have ever tried to knuckle walk on all fours like a gorilla, you'd soon realize that it's difficult to do. But some apes do this with ease, partly because they have specialized wrist joints, which we don't have. Australopithecus afarensis, also known as Lucy, is an ape-like creature that some claim is our ancestor. Evolutionary books show pictures of Lucy walking upright, so you wouldn't expect her to have knuckle walking wrist joints. But recently, scientists were shocked to discover this wrist joint structure in Lucy's kind. According to one of the researchers, "I walked over to the cabinet, pulled out Lucy, and shazam, she had the morphology that was classic for knuckle walkers." If Lucy really is our ancestor who walked upright, why does her wrist anatomy suggest she walked on all fours? It just does not add up.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
For a long time, we've been told that human and chimp DNA is over 98% identical. But even though this figure has now been revised to 95% or less, does that mean that chimps are 95% human? Surprising as it may seem, 99% of mouse genes are present in human DNA, yet no one would consider a mouse 99% human. And humans also share about 50% of our DNA with bananas, but that doesn't mean we're half bananas. Humans are undoubtedly unique. An evolutionary scientist conceded this when he wrote, "A physical and mental chasm separates us from all other living creatures. There is no other bipedal mammal. No other mammal controls and uses fire, writes books, travels in space, paints portraits, or prays. But the Bible tells us of the most distinguishing human characteristic of all. Humans are made in God's image, and that makes us rather special."
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
What do marine fossils on the top of Mount Everest tell us about the biblical flood? Well, we find fossils of marine creatures in limestone near the summit, which means that this area must have been under the sea in the past. Everyone agrees that the top of Everest was once under the sea. However, many people do not associate these rocks and fossils with Noah's flood because they think there is not enough water to cover the highest mountains. However, they are not considering how the flood changed the Earth's topography. The mountain ranges formed at the end of the flood. With vertical earth movements towards the end of the flood, the mountains rose and the water flowed off the continents into the newly formed ocean basins. Indeed, such mountains must have formed quickly and recently, otherwise they would have eroded as quickly as they formed. That's why we have marine fossils at the top of high mountains.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
Most people have heard about the meteorite that hit the Earth and supposedly caused the extinction of the dinosaurs. Secular geologists refer to this as the KT extinction, and they regard it as one of the most significant mass extinctions, according to their deep time view of Earth history. However, did you know that the secular geologists have identified seven other mass extinctions in the portion of the geological record that contains complex plant and animal life? This shows that scientists are increasingly recognizing the catastrophic nature of the geological record. This goes against old ideas of only slow and gradual processes being responsible for all the rocks and fossils. These new perspectives are much more in line with a biblical view of Earth history, whereby Noah's flood wiped out all air-breathing land animals not on the ark. No, there were not eight mass extinctions in Earth history, but there certainly was one massive extinction event.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
Many people scoff at the idea that all humans descended from a woman called Eve only thousands of years ago, but geneticists actually endorse a similar idea, known as mitochondrial Eve. By studying the DNA in cell parts known as mitochondria, scientists propose that all humans descended from a single woman that lived 200,000 years ago. But this date relies on evolutionary assumptions, chief of which is the idea chimpanzees and humans shared a common ancestor 6 million years ago. However, actual research has shown that mitochondrial DNA mutates much faster than this evolutionary estimate, and this drastically reduces mitochondrial Eve's age. This would mean that mitochondrial Eve, as a review in the prestigious journal Science said, lived about 6,500 years ago, a figure clearly incompatible with current theories on human origins, but it is compatible with the Bible's history.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
It has long been claimed that monkeys typing randomly could eventually type out the complete works of Shakespeare. Plymouth University researchers recently installed a computer in a monkey enclosure to see what would happen. After a month, the six monkeys in question had produced 5 pages of indecipherable text. This result isn't surprising, though, because the monkeys mainly used the computer as a toilet and trampoline. This ridiculous research reminds me of the mathematician Sir Fred Hoyle's analogy to illustrate the likelihood of a single biopolymer necessary for life arising by chance without a creator. He likened it to 100,000 billion 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 blind people each solving a Rubik's Cube puzzle simultaneously. And this is just one biopolymer. The simplest life forms have hundreds of biopolymers. Despite these odds, however, many people insist life arose by chance because they don't like the idea of a creator.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
Who would have ever thought that too much mud could supposedly disprove the Bible? Well, mudstone, which is rock formed from mud, makes up a huge percentage of Earth's sedimentary rocks, and many allege that this invalidates the biblical account of a global flood. Mud forms when very fine particles settle to the bottom in water. Geologists say that calm water conditions are required for this settling process to occur. Therefore, whenever they encounter mud deposits, they interpret them as forming in tranquil water environments. But the biblical flood would have been catastrophic, not tranquil. And that's why many say the flood can't account for mud deposits. But recent research published in the prestigious journal Science has turned this argument on its head. The researchers showed that mud deposits from rapidly flowing water. One of the researchers wrote, "Mudstone science is poised for a paradigm shift." Once again, science catches up with the Bible.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
One of the basic tenets of science is that open-mindedness is critically important, and the evidence should be followed wherever it may lead. But some scientists say that we should not always be so open-minded, and that some conclusions should not be allowed, even if demanded by all the evidence. They say that no matter how much evidence there is for ingenious design in life, in the structure of the universe, or in libraries full of encoded information in genomes, they must not even consider the possibility that God might have had anything to do with the creation of such wonders. One scientist said, "Even if all the data point to an intelligent designer, such an hypothesis is excluded from science because it is not naturalistic." But this simply reveals a philosophical bias against God. Many highly qualified scientists believe the Bible's account of creation provides a much better explanation for the existence and operation of the universe.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
Ever since the discovery of the first Neanderthal remains in 1856, scientists have debated how to classify these mysterious, quite human-like creatures. Until recently, many evolutionists were confident that Neanderthals were not fully human, and they regarded them as a subhuman species called Homo neanderthalensis. However, recent genetic research shows that modern humans and Neanderthals interbred, suggesting that Neanderthals and people living today should be classified as the same species. After sequencing the Neanderthal genome, the world's leading authority on ancient DNA, Svante Paabo, concluded, "Many would say that a species is a group of organisms that can produce fertile offspring with each other and cannot do so with members of other groups. From that perspective, we had shown that Neanderthals and modern humans were the same species." Neanderthals were humans, not ape men, contrary to 150 years of storytelling.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
Every time I hear of Neanderthal Man, I can't help but feel sorry for the poor guy. Initially reconstructed to look like some apish brute, it took 44 years before a reanalysis of the fossils revealed that Neanderthal Man's anatomy was very similar to yours and mine. Neanderthals buried their dead, which isn't the sort of behavior you'd expect from an animal. What's more, discovery of ornaments, tools, and stone-tipped spears reveal a high level of sophistication. Neanderthals made their own superglue from pitch, and flute-like structures found with their remains suggest they enjoyed music. But what did Neanderthal Man really look like? In recent years, researchers have answered this question by using computerized reconstructions, commonly used in forensic science. These studies show that Neanderthal Man looked remarkably similar to you and I. If he was dressed in a suit and walked past you in the street, you probably wouldn't notice him.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
In 2003, the Nobel Prize for Medicine was awarded to the pioneers of MRI scanning technology. But of those honored for this amazing medical breakthrough, there was a glaring omission. Incredibly, the Nobel Committee did not recognize Dr. Raymond Damadian, who is widely known as the man who invented the MRI scanner. The two men who did receive the Nobel Prize certainly contributed to the field, but there's no doubt that Damadian made the pioneering breakthroughs. And what makes his exclusion even more suspect is that up to three people can share the award. It does make you wonder if the committee's decision was influenced by the fact that Raymond Damadian is an outspoken Christian creationist. Even atheistic philosophy professor Michael Roos confessed, "I cringe at the thought that Raymond Damadian was refused his just honor because of his religious beliefs."
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
You've probably heard the saying that lightning never strikes twice. This means that highly unlikely events, if they do occur, won't happen again. But it appears that in a certain area of evolutionary biology, lightning has, in fact, struck four times. Birds, some extinct reptiles, insects, and bats could or can fly. But the anatomy and physiology of these creatures is substantially different and suited to flight in different ways. Evolutionary scientists who have studied the origin of flight do not claim that an ancient flying creature gave rise to all these creatures. Instead, they propose something even more incredible, that flight has evolved independently four different times. I wonder what the Wright brothers, who were inspired by God's design of flying creatures, would think about the idea that flight originated on four separate occasions without any forethought or planning.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
According to skeptics, one of the characteristics of pseudo-scientific theory is that it contradicts a known scientific law. For instance, in biology, we have the law of biogenesis, which states that life only comes from life. Ironically, though, many self-professed skeptics ignore this scientific law when it comes to the origin of life. According to evolutionary theory, all life on Earth can be traced back to a single-celled organism, which itself arose from non-living chemicals. But this is a clear contradiction of the law of biogenesis, and not surprisingly, so far, scientists have been unable to validate this belief. Even Francis Crick, who won the Nobel Prize for co-discovering the structure of DNA, admitted, "An honest man, armed with all the knowledge available to us now, could only state that in some sense, the origin of life appears at the moment to be almost a miracle." Well, maybe it was a miracle.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
Many people think DNA is like a recipe or an ordered set of instructions. This is far too simplistic because genomes operate in multiple dimensions. The first dimension is the sequence of DNA letters. Unlike a book, these DNA letters can be read in different ways. For example, each part of a gene can be used in constructing multiple different proteins, a process controlled by other parts of the genome, the second dimension. Then we must consider the arrangement of the DNA in the nucleus, where genes are not randomly distributed, but clustered together according to the need. The third dimension. Even more impressively, the chromosomes in the nucleus vary in shape according to the cell's changing needs over time. The fourth dimension. How could genomes operating in multiple dimensions have evolved? A rare beneficial mutation that might enhance things in one dimension would likely cause problems at other levels. Genomes look more and more like the handiwork of a supremely intelligent programmer.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
The breeding of pedigree dogs is causing them to suffer great pain. According to Steve Jones, Professor of Genetics at University College London, some dog breeds are paying a terrible price in genetic disease. One award-winning Cavalier King Charles Spaniel was even suffering from a condition where its skull was too small for its brain. Following Darwin, evolutionists often claim that selection, artificial or natural, is a creative force that can change microbes into microbiologists. However, in selecting one animal or plant over another, the genes of the non-selected one are lost. So selection gets rid of genetic information. It does not create it. For evolution to be believable, natural selection would need to create new genes with the specifications for all the features that humans have and microbes don't. Natural selection happens in today's world, but it is not capable of changing microbes into mankind.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
Is the human genome full of parasites? This might sound like a ridiculous question, but some biologists claim that it is. The Human Genome Project revealed that a large proportion of human DNA is composed of transposable elements. These DNA segments copy themselves and move around the genome. Some scientists have claimed they serve no function and have dismissed them as parasitic DNA. Evolutionists even claim that similarities with chimps in these supposedly useless bits prove evolution. But new research shows they have functions. One study revealed that transposable elements activate during embryo development in mice to control gene expression. Another study showed that these elements concentrate in gene-dense regions to control gene expression. They are not randomly spread throughout the genome as previously thought. So the human genome isn't full of parasites after all, but it's full of sophisticated ways to control gene expression.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
How did the peacock get such a spectacular tail? Bothered by this question, Charles Darwin wrote, "The sight of a feather in a peacock's tail, whenever I gaze at it, makes me sick." Sometime later, though, Darwin proposed his theory of sexual selection, which basically says that the peacock evolved its exotic tail to attract a mate, thus helping it produce more offspring and thus increasing the numbers with attractive tails. But a recent critical review published in the prestigious journal Science has pointed out that the theory has fatal problems and needs to be replaced. However, other evolutionary scientists have rushed to Darwin's defense, contending that the authors failed to provide a genuine alternative theory. But what if there is no evolutionary explanation? Perhaps the peacock tail continually evades an evolutionary explanation because it didn't evolve, but was designed after all.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
In his second letter, the Apostle Peter links Jesus' second coming and judgment of the whole world to the historical reality of Noah's flood. He prophesied, "In the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, 'Where is this coming he promised?' But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed." And Genesis is clear. The words all, every, everything, and entire are used 8 times in chapter 7 to describe what was covered or destroyed by the flood. Genesis 7:23 says, "Every living thing on the face of the earth was wiped out." In the same way the flood was real and global, so too will the second coming of Jesus be real and the whole world be judged.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
Several years ago, the paleontological world heralded the discovery of a fossil called Tiktaalik roseii. Some scientists claimed it as a perfect missing link between fish and amphibians, and so it started appearing in school and university textbooks. However, the discovery of a series of footprints in Poland made by a four-legged animal has changed everything. That's because these footprints were dated according to the same evolutionary ideas at 18 million years older than Tiktaalik. Therefore, from an evolutionary perspective, if four-legged animals existed before Tiktaalik, then Tiktaalik cannot be the transition between fish and four-legged animals that it was claimed to be. Indeed, these footprints are so significant that they have prompted some scientists to say, "We thought we'd pinned down the origin of limbed tetrapods. We have to rethink the whole thing." Isn't it amazing how just a little bit of new evidence can completely undermine a neat evolutionary story?
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
Most people know that pollen can cause problems for those who suffer from hay fever. But did you know that pollen is also a major problem for the evolutionary interpretation of the fossil record? Since the 1960s, the scientific literature has reported the presence of pollen and spores within a rock layer called the Jorema Formation in South America. This formation is supposedly over 550 million years old, yet according to evolutionary theory, flowering plants that produced pollen didn't evolve for another 390 million years. So why do we find pollen in the fossil record so long before the first flowering plants appear? The simplest explanation is that the fossil record doesn't represent the evolution of life on this planet over eons of time, but is better explained as a consequence of the year-long global flood of Noah and its aftermath. This is recorded in the book of Genesis, chapters 6, 7 and 8.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
Most people are under the impression that coal forms slowly in swamps over millions of years, but this view neglects the testimony of tree trunk fossils that cut across many coal layers known as polystrate fossils. If these tree trunks were buried gradually over thousands of years, the top parts of the trees would have rotted away before they could be protected by sediment. Derek Ager, professor of geology at University College of Swansea, recognized this when he wrote of trees buried in coal seams. If one estimates the total thickness of the British coal measures as about 1,000 meters laid down in about 10 million years, then assuming a constant rate of sedimentation, it would have taken 100,000 years to bury a tree 10 meters high, which is ridiculous. He then went on to say, we cannot escape the conclusion that sedimentation was at times very rapid indeed. So the slow swamp story should itself be laid to rest.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
People with granite benchtops in their kitchens are usually very proud of them, never failing to show them off to visitors. But that's not surprising. Serving up dinner on a surface that was supposedly millions of years in the making carries a certain aura about it. But in a recent paper published in the Proceedings of the Geologists Association, granite specialist John Clemens stated, just about everything that was taught as recently as 10 years ago about granitic magmatism has been turned on its head. He then describes how granites can form quickly. He concludes that granites belong with an increasing number of geological processes that were catastrophic in their suddenness. This eliminates yet another reason not to believe the Bible's timescale. While this is certainly a dramatically different view of how granites form, be sensitive when telling your friends with granite benchtops. They might find this research pretty deflating.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
Heard that diamonds are a girl's best friend, but diamonds also teach us an important lesson about the age of the Earth. Diamonds are made of carbon. One rare type of carbon, known as carbon-14, is radioactive, which means that it breaks down over time. By measuring the amount of decay, scientists estimate how old something is. Some people think that carbon-14 dating proves things happened millions of years ago, but that's wrong, because carbon-14 decays so fast that something a million years old could not contain any carbon-14. Physicist Dr. John Baumgartner recently investigated the level of carbon-14 in diamonds. Many would have considered such research pointless because the diamonds were supposedly over a billion years old, which meant all carbon-14 should have decayed. But the radiocarbon labs detected significant levels of carbon-14, which suggests the diamonds are much younger, only thousands of years.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
How would our view of dinosaurs change if scientists found carbon-14 in their bones? Well, a group of geophysicists claim to have discovered exactly that, carbon-14 in dinosaur bones. This is indeed a shocking proposal for those who believe that the last dinosaurs died out 65 million years ago, because carbon-14 decays so fast that it could not possibly survive that long. There should not be one atom of carbon-14 present in dinosaur bones, if they really are as old as is usually claimed. After going to great lengths to rule out contamination, the researchers concluded that they had indeed found carbon-14 in dinosaur bone. These results seriously undermine the evolutionary story of long ages of Earth history. However, they fit nicely with biblical history, whereby dinosaurs lived only thousands of years ago, with their fossils forming from animals buried during Noah's flood.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
In 1923, American microscopist Theophilus Pater announced to the world that humans have 48 chromosomes. This number was repeated like a mantra for several decades until plant cytologist Albert Levan announced in 1956 that it was wrong. The actual number is 46. The wrong information repeated frequently enough often becomes accepted as fact. This is known as reinforcement syndrome. Many eminent scientists accepted that humans had 48 chromosomes, even though their microscopes said otherwise. The same scenario exists with the supposed extinction of dinosaurs 65 million years ago. Much evidence suggests it's wrong, such as historical accounts of dragons that sound like dinosaurs and the existence of blood cells and proteins in dinosaur fossils. However, the idea that dinosaurs became extinct 65 million years ago has become very hard to dislodge. This is another example of reinforcement syndrome.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
In 2001, a fossil skull found in Chad electrified the world's scientific community. Nicknamed Toumai, this creature supposedly lived when the human and chimp lineages allegedly split, making it the oldest human ancestor ever found. The leader of the team that made the discovery confessed, "It's a lot of emotion to have in my hand the beginning of the human lineage. I have been looking for this for so long. I knew I would one day find it, so it's a large part of my life." But not all scientists accept this conclusion. For instance, Dr. Bridget Sennett of the Natural History Museum in Paris dismissed the skull as a mere female gorilla. With such conflicting opinions about the same skull, it does make you wonder. Perhaps the skull's discoverer let his emotion and desire for discovery obscure his interpretation of the evidence.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
Scientists studying fossil sea spiders from Jurassic Rock found they are just the same as today's sea spiders. By evolutionary reckoning, that's no change in 160 million years. In that supposed time, evolutionists say, most of the dinosaurs, birds, many fish, and virtually all mammals have evolved, all by natural processes. From finches to albatrosses and mice to elephants, they all made themselves by evolutionary processes. They also say that most of the flowering plants evolved too, and yet the sea spiders haven't changed in all that time. Curious, isn't it? The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 1 that God created plants to produce seed according to each kind created, and he created sea life and creeping things after their kind also. This is the most established principle of biology, that living things produce offspring like themselves. These sea spiders illustrate this biblical truth.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
One of the remarkable things about the geologic record is that blankets of sediments cover vast areas of the continents. In his book, The Nature of the Stratigraphical Record, evolutionary geologist Professor Derek Agar marveled at the way sedimentary layers extended for thousands of kilometers, even across continents. He was particularly impressed with the chalk beds that form the famous White Cliffs of Dover in southern England, as these trace all the way to Turkey and Egypt. The strata exposed in the walls of the Grand Canyon provide another example. Some of these sedimentary formations extend thousands of kilometers across North America. Such vast sedimentary layers suggest that geological processes must have occurred in the past that we don't observe today. Sedimentary deposits forming today are localized and confined to river deltas, lake beds, and along narrow strips of coastline. Sedimentary blankets covering vast areas are exactly what we would expect if the global flood recorded in the Bible actually occurred.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
For many years, radio telescopes have been scanning the heavens as part of a program known as SETI. SETI stands for the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. They hope that one day they'll stumble across a coded message or information from outer space. Then we'll know for sure that there's intelligent life out there, because only an intelligent being could have sent such a coded message. The irony is that SETI enthusiasts are inconsistent in the way they use this criterion. If they swapped their radio telescopes for a molecular biology lab and considered DNA, they'd discover encyclopedic quantities of coded information. Yet if someone suggests this coded information points to an intelligent source, they are dismissed as an idiot. The SETI program recognizes that only intelligent minds can produce complex coded messages. Why is the DNA information in living things treated differently? Is it because the intelligence responsible must be the creator God of the Bible?
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
In some parts of Africa, it's actually an advantage to have mutated, oddly shaped red blood cells. This condition, known as sickle cell anemia, is usually a disadvantage, but ironically, it can actually help protect someone from malarial infection because a sickle red blood cell is less appetizing for the malaria parasite. Many people mistakenly view this sort of change as an example of evolution in action because a mutation in DNA has made people better adapted to their environment. But if microbes really did turn into mankind, which is what evolution teaches, this would require the addition of new DNA information to turn the relatively simple genome of a microbe into the vastly more complicated one of a person. In the case of sickle cell anemia, the opposite has happened because DNA information has been corrupted and lost, not gained, because the crippled blood cells are less able to transport oxygen.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
Imagine hearing that someone has just won the lottery three times in the same year, or a golfer has hit five consecutive holes in one. We approach such improbable stories with healthy skepticism. Considering the formation of the first living cell by a perfect arrangement of carbohydrates, fats, proteins, and genetic material in a warm pond, Nobel Prize winner Francis Crick said, "It seems almost impossible to give any numerical value to the probability of what seems a rather unlikely sequence of events. An honest man could only state that in some sense, the origin of life appears at the moment to be almost a miracle." The evolutionist Robert Shapiro at this point would prefer to abandon all skepticism. Why need the event have been probable? We can just stare at the odds, shrug, and note with thanks how lucky we were. When we abandon healthy skepticism, only gullibility remains to invoke miracles without God.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
Dogs vary greatly in size, from Chihuahua to Great Dane, yet they are all part of the dog or wolf created kind. They can all interbreed. Researchers have found that the small breeds of dog have something in common, a mutation in a gene that codes for an important growth regulator. This prevents the small dogs growing to normal size. Mutations do that sort of thing. They destroy normal biological functions. Some of that destruction might be entertaining for us, producing cute miniature dogs that don't cost much to feed. But mutations won't create the complex blocks of genetic instructions needed to produce the growth regulator in the first place. Evolutionists say that mutations change dinosaurs into birds and apes into people. But how can mutations, which destroy complex information, do that sort of thing? Modern biology really shouts creation, not evolution.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
In nature documentaries and science textbooks, one often hears about creatures that arrived at their body plan very early in evolutionary history and have not made any real changes since that time, supposedly millions of years ago. These are called living fossils, like the coelacanth and the walmy pine. This phenomenon is known as stasis, things staying pretty much the same. And it turns out that pretty much every animal in the entire fossil record appears suddenly and shows this same history of stasis. This was not predicted by evolution. A more recent and radical theory called punctuated equilibrium recognizes stasis in the fossil record, but requires belief in rapid massive leaps in evolution, an unsubstantiated just-so story. However, the physical evidence, sudden appearance and stasis in the fossil record, fits remarkably well with the biblical account of a recent creation followed by a devastating global flood, just as the Bible describes in Genesis.
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.
Formed by a volcanic eruption in 1963, the island of Surtsey near Iceland has intrigued scientists because it looks like landscapes most think are much older. According to a New Scientist article, the island has excited geographers who marvel that canyons, gullies and other land features that typically take tens of thousands or millions of years to form were created in less than a decade. Biologists have also marveled at how quickly plants, animals and birds have colonized the island. The Icelandic Institute of Natural History put it this way: "We now have a fully functioning ecosystem on Surtsey. If you visited the island of Surtsey and weren't aware it was less than 50 years old, I wonder how old you'd consider it to be. The next time you hear that a particular landscape took millions of years to form, remember the island of Surtsey, because things can be misinterpreted as being much older than they really are."
To find out more from Creation Ministries International, visit our website, creation.com.